The reason the sun comes up. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. The reason the sun comes up. The sun comes up every morning because it is a beautiful day. Because it's looking for happiness, it's looking for joy, it's looking for peace everywhere. The reason the sun comes up, it is out to outshine itself, just to shine everywhere and to sparkle everywhere and to give everywhere its light. Now, the reason the moon comes up at night is for a different reason. The moon comes up at night because it's the harvest moon, and it's the moon of love, and it's the moon of joy, it's the moon of peace, it's the moon of infinite bliss. But the sun, which comes up every morning, is saying, now look, everything I shine upon is good and very good. Everything I look at is good and very good. Everything that I see, I call wonderful. And why in the world do I call everything wonderful? Because that's all I can see. I can only see my own light reflecting in, on, as everything that I see. There's nothing else in my universe except me. So, when I come up in the morning, I do that. Now, you have a false idea of me. You have a very false idea of me. You think I'm only shining on you for 8-10 hours, and then I'm gone. I go to sleep. Well, you're crazy. I am shining constantly. The world turns, and I am shining as it turns. I have the world on a great rotisserie, and it's just turning and turning, bathing in my light, bathing in my goodness, bathing in my happiness every moment of the day. Now, I let the world go to sleep, but I don't. I am eternally shining. I am eternally flowing and glowing and being everywhere. And, you know, you think that I'm the sun up in the sky, and that I have a bunch of planets that circulate around me. And that's true. These planets do work their way around me, and these planets are constantly turning and basting and slobbering themselves and turning beautiful browns or reds or whatever colors please them. But you see, I never go out. The moon gets behind the earth and loses sight of me for a few moments, but I'm always there. And Earth has some pretty heavy clouds, some pretty heavy fog banks, and it cuts me out, and you think, my goodness, where is the sun? But you can tell it's daylight, because even with the cloud banks and the clouds and the fog, I still make it bright. I sparkle through the fog so that you know it's daytime. You don't think it's night. You think it's kind of dark, but it's not night, because I'm always there. I'm always there shining. Now, did you ever wonder why the nights are never black? The nights are never black. They look black by comparison, but they're never black. They always have my light residual in them, because I'm shining hither and yon throughout the atmosphere, throughout the stratosphere that we're in here, and dust particles are radiating my light from wherever I'm shining down upon the earth. It's not as though I have full frontal view of the earth and I'm just beaming away with all I've got, but I'm always shining. And then, do you think that the stars that you see from other planets, the stars that you see from other galaxies, that they are so bright? That's me, you see. That's me shining off of them, making them bright. You say, well, Herb, the scientists do not agree with you there. They say each star has its own source of light within itself, its own source of power. Hey, this is my story. And I say, it's my light. It's my light everywhere. It's my light that shines on the moon. And then the moon shines on the earth. And so the earth gets a sort of a gentle light at night. That's where lovers start saying to each other, "Oh, you're so wonderful, you're so sweet," and by the light of the silvery moon, I want to spoon with my honey, I'll sing love's tune, honeymoon. By the light of the moon, I'll sing love's tune, love's sparkling tune, by the light of the moon, by the silvery moon. And you see, that's a love song that for years and years and years and years was sung, is sung, and always will be sung. Because it's so gentle and so beautiful and so loving. You see, right away, when people think of love, they think of sex. And that messes everything up. Love should be this unconditional relationship between people that only light brings about. Two people can be madly in love without having sex underneath the sun. They can be lying on the beach tanning. They can be playing ball. They can be sitting holding hands on the park bench in the sun. And they can just be thinking beautiful thoughts about each other. And they don't want to say, "Yeah, yeah, we got to get this here." No. The minute you do that, then it's over with. But real love is a continuing program. Just like me, the light of the moon and the light of the sun. Think about it. It's always shining. It's always glowing. My goodness, if I would have an orgasm every 10 seconds that I'm shining, I would be burned out in no time. You know that? And so what I do is I just shine and shine and shine and glow, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows they can. They don't look directly at me because that would not be good for them. I'm too bright. If they want to, they can. They get glasses that sort of shade me off a little bit. But you don't need to look directly at me. I know what's going on with you. I know what's going on in each one of your lives, and I know the good things that you're doing and the wonderful things you're doing because I am the sunlight. Sunlight is warm. Sunlight is gentle. Sunlight is peaceful. Just think about it. If you were an Arab living in the desert and you had the sunlight shining down on you, you'd think, "My gosh, you want to take off your clothes." And what does an Arab do? He keeps putting on clothes. He sometimes has three or four layers of clothing, and his body is in proper sync. Whereas if he took off his clothes, he would have to get conditioned, because the African natives go naked, and they are out in the sun all day long, and they are conditioned to it. You understand? Mm-hmm. And the Arabs, they are just the other way around. They are very light-skinned, or they're pretty dark. They have a good tan. But the thing is, they're mainly lighter skin, and they wear all this clothing. Now, where is the reasonability of this, you know? Ethiopia is pretty much on the equator, you know, and all these other things are pretty much up there by the equator. The Arabs are pretty much on the equator, and yet they wear a lot of clothes and the Ethiopians don't, you know. Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting the why and the where for these things? You can't say that it is better to have all that clothes on and maintain a body temperature that you control, or it is better not to. It's better to go naked and just adjust yourself to the sun so you are always its master, you know. They don't run and look for shade in the African deserts. There is no shade. So they just adjust to it. And their body adjusts to it very well. Now you say, some of them get old and fuzzly. That's because that's what they think. Now, I assure you, the Africans, this day and age, are going to live longer too. Because they have a better attitude about themselves. They think they have better medicine, they have better this. It's not any of that. It's just the attitude about themselves. Now, why do you think I'm going to live for billions and billions and billions of years? Because as the sun, I can have my burning be equal, and I can also be feeding it at the same time. I can do, you don't think I have wormholes going out to other sources that refuel my fire whenever I want to? You don't know everything about the sun. I don't think you've ever been close enough to the sun to really know. I've taken you there, as as me, Herb Byerly. I've taken you there on out-of-body journeys, and we've had great times in the sun. And you've seen all sorts of beautiful things there. But did you believe it? There was much I didn't tell you, much I didn't show you, because I didn't want to reach your credulity level beyond what you could handle, your threshold. Because if I reached your threshold, then you would say, oh boy, there's more to this than meets the eye. Like when, what was his name, who was the kid with us at the pyramids? Abramo. Abramo was 3 years old and he went with us into the pyramids. And we went in the Great Pyramid. And he says, behind that wall right there are da-da-da-da, where they keep the trash. And then they put the block up, you know. And over here is this, and over here is this. And we all thought, boy, what an imagination this kid has. And we asked his mom and dad, did you ever talk to him about the pyramids beforehand? No. Did you ever read any books on the pyramids and find out what's going on? No. How do you know this? Well, he listened, tuned in to the one universal mind, and he knew it. Now, you see, if instead of doubting him, we would just say, tell us more, Abramo. You are on a roll. Tell us more. Well, you see, that's what I, as the sun, do. I shine on each of you, and I say, be more, be more. Be the love, be the joy, be the peace. Yes. The reason that the sun comes up is because it never went to bed. Have a nice evening and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.